In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, we hear in the very early chapters of Luke, we hear the litany of horror. Did you hear it today? Did it repulse you? Did it make you just shudder? The list of names of the government should have made you shudder. The Emperor Tiberius, all in the time of the hearing of Luke's gospel, would have known well the low acts of Tiberius. He was a low character. He was someone who neglected some of his responsibilities and abdicated a lot of his authority. But he was ruthless. He was a person who liked to hurt others, to torture others, to be able to live in a world of darkness, of crime, and of cruelty. He was a dark, dark character. Did you hear the names of the four leaders of the kingdom after Herod the Great had died? It was mostly his children and Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, Herod, Lysias, and Philip. Horrible, dark characters. People who fought for power, insecure, who worried about themselves and didn't worry too much about others. Did you hear the names Annas and Caiaphas? You should remember them from the Passion. They were the ones who plotted the death of Jesus and orchestrated it. So when Luke gives these names, it's to say that all is not well in the world, that the world is pretty corrupt and broken. And it's during that time that the Lord spoke to John, the son of Zechariah. John was quite different than all these other characters that worried about themselves and not about others. John was someone from his birth who was set apart. His family, knowing that he was from of God, made sure that he was raised and taught the ways of God. He was someone that strong drink never touched his tongue. He was one who lived in the desert with camel hair and ate wild locusts and honey. He was someone who took very serious the way of God, trying to find his way through the darkness. And it was of him who was called to point to the Savior. While all these dark characters pointed to themselves and worried about themselves, John did something directly opposite. He pointed to Jesus. This is very important for us to see, because in Advent, we need to look at that direction that John points, and we need to follow. It speaks today about the road, preparing the way of the Lord and making it straight. And it says that every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked made straight, and rough ways smooth. The people of Jesus' time would have seen that happening literally. It would have been happening by the Romans building their territory. They would have been building great, beautiful roads. Roads that were smooth. Roads that were meant to be able to bring in the armies of occupation quickly. And they would have seen by slave labor, by ruthless taxes, by great cruelty, they would have seen great construction that they would have never imagined. They would have seen these roads being built, very beautiful roads that no one rejoiced in, because the roads were not for them. The roads were roads of darkness and occupation. But John was one who pointed to the light, and he was one to remind people that it's not these roads that God promised. It was the roads from the prophet Baruch, from way back. And John would have reminded them that God is not forgotten. Baruch promises and praises in the prophecy to the people of Jerusalem. The promise was, rejoice and take off the garment of sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory of God. Baruch gives a promise to the people who lived in Jerusalem. If you ever visit Jerusalem, the city walls still remain. It's amazing to walk around the city of Jerusalem and you see these great walls. You can even climb up and walk along the watch of the top of the gates. It's quite remarkable to see. But as you walk around the city, as you see it, you imagine it in years gone past, when those city walls would have been all that there was. There would have been vast emptiness outside of it. And all that remained was the city within. And the people who lived there would have remembered the horror of the stories of their defeat. They would have told of the stories of the Babylonians that came and conquered them. And when they conquered the city, they came with great ruthlessness and they broke down those gates. They broke down those walls of security. And in it, they killed every threat that was there. Anyone who could have fought them or could have continued the battle was put to death. People were taken advantage of and used as they wished. You would see that all the wealth as they broke through would have been taken out by those who captured the city. They would have feasted on their wine and ate their food and killed their animals. They would have taken their gold and plundered their temples. And then to make sure it never happened again, they would imprison anyone who was a threat, all the intellectual leaders, all the spiritual leaders, anyone of strength would have been bounded and led away in sorrow. And the city would have been left in a smoldering, broken, bloody mess. And so Baruch speaks to the people and he says, take off that garment. All of that sorrow, all that fills your mind of that horror, take it off and remember that God loves you. How Jerusalem must have needed to hear that, because they couldn't get past the pain. Even today, when you go into the city streets of Jerusalem, you still feel that pain. You still feel that threat. You still feel that division and fear that we have to maintain power so this never happens again. And Baruch the prophet would have said to the people, take off those garments of shame. Take off those garments of brokenness and put on the diadem that God gives you. And it would recall, as your ancestors were led away in chains, the Lord remembers you, and you'll be carried back as on a royal throne. You'll be led back with shouts of rejoicing. What a promise that is given, a promise for us in our world. These readings are real important to us because most of us are worried about the world today. Most of us look at the world and we see violence. And if you don't worry about the world, shame on you. Most of us look at our city, a city that has such beauty, but it's filled with such blood in our streets. We hear of the violence and the bloodshed, and it's enough to make us shudder and to be people of sorrow. We look at the injustices in the world. We look at our environment and our planet, and it makes us worry. But today's readings are readings that tell us God works through this darkness, that we're called to be like John the Baptist. We're called to be people of hope. We're called to be people like Baruch, who are able to say, what use is it for us to waddle in our brokenness? All that does is bring us more misery. What use is it to us to look at the people of power that play their game in the time of Jesus and in our time? And for us, John says to us, look at our lives. You can't control them. All you can do is control you. And so for us, John leads us and says, it is time for us to hold to our baptism, to be people who know that we are born again, that we live in a world with violence and with and struggles and darkness, but we are people who have been submerged in love and restored to life. We are a people who might not be able to fix the world politics, but we could fix our own. What John challenged the people was for us to prepare the way. And to do so, it's by looking at our own lives. So how do we change the violence in the world? It is by us choosing to not be part of it, refusing to enter into it, to be people who work for unity, who break down divisions, to be people who bring light rather than darkness. So we might not be able to pull all the plastic out of the oceans, but we can make sure that our plastic orange juice container doesn't go to the landfill, but instead goes into the recycling bin. We can't fix the hunger in all the world. What we might be able to do is for all of us to fill our boxes and bring empty boxes to be full boxes. We might not be able to help all people to know the love of God, but in this small corner of Carrollton, our Christmas lights dazzle and our songs echo out of the doors of the church, so that there's a whisper of hope to the person sleeping on the streetcar that passes, who might look at this church dazzling and be reminded that all is not dark, all is not woe. For us, we are challenged by our second reading that is so beautiful that it says this: I am confident of this, that the one who has begun the good work among you will bring it through to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. That's our message of hope in this Advent season, that God has started something beautiful in us, that God has not forgotten us, that there's something beautiful brewing within us that is marvelous to behold, and that God's going to be the one that brings it to completion. And he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine, this is the big line, what is best, to help you determine what is best. May God bless us in the second week of Advent as we know that God has begun something wonderful and something bright. May we hold to it and let it be the light through the darkness. Amen.